Hello and welcome to the Honest Politics Podcast. My name's Alex Gamsik and I am the founder of Honest Politics LLC. My company does high-level political consulting, but not for politicians. My services are catered to everyday Americans, just like you and me. So let's get started. Today, we're going to be looking at the Monroe County local elections, and before you shut this off, there are important political ramifications for local elections no matter where they are. And especially in Monroe County, where the seat just flipped from Republican to Democrat, you can, for the first time in over 30 years. So we're going to be looking politically at why this might have happened. And honestly, I went on a radio show. This research was all done in preparation for a radio show that someone introduced me to. I was promised 20 minutes on that show. I was given less than 8 because I guess academic analysis doesn't do good radio. It seems like people these days don't have an appetite for actually listening to important facts or drawn out theories and conclusions. So I don't care. I'm going to keep doing it on my podcast. And if I have one listener, that's great. If I have 10 listeners, that's great. If I have 100, that's great. But what matters to me is being honest about it. Looking at things with data, and you're going to hear a lot of data today. So I hope you get some important political science ramifications from this podcast, which is basically going to be me talking about the Monroe County elections. Now, keep in mind, this is before they happened. And after I go through my script here, I'm going to give a short aftermath, kind of. We don't have the official results yet, but we've heard most of the numbers, quote, unofficially. So we'll be right back after this quick break. Hello, everyone. My name is Alex Gamsik, and I want to welcome you to a discussion on the elections which are happening as we speak. I want to remind everyone that the polls are still open until 9 p.m. At that time, results will start pouring in. It will be thrilling to see who takes an early lead and if that lead holds throughout the night. As for me, I earned a bachelor's in political science and a master's in public policy at American University, which is located in Washington, D.C. I've interned on Capitol Hill, I've volunteered on a dozen political campaigns, and I'm the kind of guy who attends congressional hearings for fun in between classes. So there's a thing or two I've learned about American politics. These lessons translate well to Monroe County. I'm going to start with a broad view of the race from a political science perspective, and then look more closely at the races in the suburbs outside of Rochester. My first lesson of political science is that voter turnout in America is abysmally low. Especially now in 2019, which is an off year, turnout is guaranteed to be even less than usual. Looking at the last county executive race of 2015, turnout was just 31.6%. Midterm elections are usually 15 to 20 points higher than that, and presidential elections are 43 to 49% higher. That's a huge difference. So it's critical to examine who of these few will actually vote. The second lesson of political science is that political identity rarely changes. We assign political identities to ourselves much like we do with sports teams' affiliations. Therefore, campaigns don't waste much time convincing people to change their minds. It's not like the Patriots are trying to get Western New Yorkers to support Tom Brady or anything. What's more important is to get people who already agree with you out to the polls. From looking at voter data in off years like this one, males vote at a rate of about 32% and females vote at about 29%. And during off years since 2001, Republicans have turned out 6 to 15 percentage points higher than Democrats. This gives Republicans a huge advantage. Looking at the data, there's also a direct correlation between age and voter turnout. For example, in 2015, voter turnout was 56% among people 65 and older. For those 18 to 24, voter turnout was only 8%. And for each age bracket, the older you are, the more likely you are to turn out. These data points track well with the lessons of basic political science. Slightly higher male turnout is usually a good sign for Republicans. And even though more people are registered as Democrats, Republicans reliably make it to the polls each year. Usually, people are more conservative the older they are. That's partially why high turnout among older populations leads to Republican victories. So it's important to look at the demographic data after tonight and see if these trends continue. Democrats likely wanted higher turnout, especially among women, young people, and obviously registered Democrats. Some hopeful signs for these campaigns may lie in the institution of early voting. For the first time in New York State, you could vote over a week early at any designated polling site. According to WXXI, over 13,500 people voted early. This may have increased turnout, possibly benefiting Democrats. An update from WXXI on voter turnout. As of 2:30 this afternoon, voter turnout was 21%. That's higher than it was in 2015 at 14%, and higher than it was in 2011 at 11%. So as of now, it does look like turnout is higher in this election than in other similar races. National politics can also increase turnout. Some people call it the Trump factor. The president's unprecedented personal and political conduct has energized Democrats, similar to how Tea Party activists were energized during the Obama years. New voter registrations show that Democrats are gaining ground in the suburbs where they're usually weakest in Monroe County. The Democrat and Chronicle reported that throughout the whole country, there were 1.5% fewer Republicans, but Democratic enrollment has increased by 7.5%. Hilton and Parma on the west side were the only two areas that saw an increase in Republicans. This makes sense given that President Trump's preference for conflict rather than unification has deepened the political divides between rural areas like Hilton and more densely populated areas like Greece. And I should make clear that these are all local places within Monroe County. It's not like I'm talking about the country of Greece. There's also an education divide, with higher educated populations like Pittsford and Penfield gaining Democratic registrations. Although Trump is not on the ballot this year, he is the de facto leader of the Republican Party. All Republicans are tied to his legacy. Democrats currently do not have a singular national party leader, so it is more difficult to pin recent national policy failures onto them. This election, like it or not, will in some way be altered by Trump's influence on the entire country's politics. This is because, according to Professor Alan Lichtman at American University, elections occur in broad, sweeping waves. It's not like Brighton is going to have massive Democratic turnout while Brockport sees record high Republican turnout. There's going to be a general trend towards Republicans or Democrats, and that will decide some of the close races throughout the suburbs. Professor Lichtman, who I mentioned earlier, gained national recognition when he correctly predicted the 2016 presidential election. He developed a prediction system that has correctly predicted every presidential election since 1984. This method uses the success of the incumbent party as the decider for whom voters choose. Therefore, for better or worse, voters are likely going to cast their ballot as a referendum on the DeNolfo administration and the Republican-controlled county legislature. If voters approve of these Republicans' performance, the election will go well for them. If people are dissatisfied, a wave of Democratic support may well tip close races in their favor. That is why a lot of Democrats I've watched are not campaigning on touchy subjects like gun control or climate change. Instead, they're setting themselves as the alternative to the current administration, which further builds the case that this election is, in many ways, a referendum. How likely is it that Adam Bello wins the county executive position? While Republicans have controlled the county's top position since 1936, except for 4 years between 1987 and 1991, Cheryl DeNolfo won her last election against Democrat Sandra Frankel by a wide margin of 56-41. Just by looking at Facebook likes and Twitter followers, it appears DeNolfo has the advantage. This is troubling news for the Bello campaign. Younger demographics who use social media are the exact voters Democrats would need to pull out some victories. That being said, Adam Bello still has a decent chance to win, even though he's at a disadvantage. Mayor Lovely Warren gave him an endorsement, which she neglected to do for DeNolfo's previous challenger. And for anyone who doesn't know the mayor of Rochester, you might have thought I was talking about Elizabeth Warren as the Lovely Warren. I'm talking about the mayor of Rochester. So Bello also has support from such emergency personnel organizations as the Monroe County Law Enforcement Association and the Rochester Firefighters Association. Nationally, Democrats may not as easily pick up such endorsements, but the Bello campaign has made an effort to support local law enforcement. Support from, quote, unlikely allies may be a sign of strength in the election overall. Given everything I've discussed, from the Trump factor to increased registrations, I assume the suburbs will lean closer to Democrats than they have in the past. Another major factor will be voter turnout in the city of Rochester, but I'm focusing on the suburbs today. Given Republican strength in these areas, I think conservatives will continue to hold on to power. I would predict a D'Onofrio win of 52% and a loss for Bello with 48%. This would show the increased strength of Democrats in Monroe County, but I still do not think that it is enough to overturn the long-held Republican grasp on the county executive position. I want to make very clear that this is a political analysis. This is not necessarily what will happen. Science operates on percentages, and political science is one of those fields dominated by uncertainty. So there is a chance D'Onofrio will win, and there is a chance that Bello will win. Whoever you decide to support, or maybe you support a third party, I encourage you to vote. There's still time to go if you have not voted already. You can still make a difference in this election. And now back to the analysis. Another demographic trend helping Republicans is that the suburbs are mostly white and mostly older. These older, whiter populations statistically tend to vote Republican, like they do in the rest of the country. Using 2010 census data, in all of Monroe County, the median age was 38 years old. But in Rochester, the median age was 32 years old. So people in the suburbs are a median of 6 years older. Concerning race, Monroe County is 76% white and 15% black. Compare that to the city of Rochester, which is 46% white and 40% black. Using some very complicated mathematics, involving a calculator, a division symbol, and two numbers, we can see that 75% of all African Americans in Monroe County live within the city of Rochester. That means there are fewer African Americans in the suburbs, making it more difficult for Democrats in those areas. African Americans are a key constituency for the Democratic Party, as you are likely aware if you're paying any attention to the 2020 presidential race. The suburbs' lack of ethnic diversity helps explain the Republican domination of the Monroe County legislature. The legislature currently has 17 Republicans and 11 Democrats, with one legislator who recently left the Republican Party. This man, Tony Michiche, who I actually met at the radio station, wrote a letter explaining his departure as a consequence of his displeasure with the D'Onofrio administration. He's currently running under the Libertarian and Independence lines for the 26th District. This district contains Eastern Gates, Eastern Greece, and Western Rochester. He faces competition from Republican Orlando Rivera and Democrat Yversha Roman. As the incumbent who is not on either party line, it'll be interesting to see how his three-way race turns out. The race I'm following most closely is the 20th Legislative District, which contains most of Ogden and eastern Sweden. The seat is currently held by Republican Mike Zale, with a young challenger by the name of J.W. Cook. Throughout that neighborhood, I've seen a lot of lawn signs for both candidates. The district has a lot of farmland, but also has more urban areas like Spencerport and Brockport. Well, maybe not all of Brockport. See, the center of town is cut in half by the 2nd Legislative District, which makes it more difficult for a Democrat like J.W. to win this seat. It's interesting to look at the legislative maps, and it's easy to see how urban areas are either packed into small districts or divided by large rural districts. The way these maps are drawn is obviously a major factor in all American elections, and they tend to give the map drawers, basically the people already in power, an advantage. So we will see if Mike Zale prevails, or if J.W. can energize enough Democrats to unseat him. I've heard it's going to be a close race. The other half of Brockport is in the 2nd District, which is a race between Republican Jackie Smith and Democrat Karen LaBracco. They are running to fill the seat of Mike Rocco, who has been the county legislator since 2009. I found a Twitter account claiming to be Mr. Rocco, with 3 followers. I don't know if we can blame his lack of Twitter followers for his departure from the legislature, but either way, Karen LaBracco is setting a Democratic challenge to this district, which was uncontested when Rocco was reelected in 2015. In fact, 20 of the 29 county legislative seats were uncontested in 2015. This year shows a lot more competition, including a challenge to Ed Wilt in the 1st District from Democrat Amanda Gnauz-Hauser, and I'm sorry if I mispronounce any names here. Considering Mr. Wilt won his seat with 64% of the vote last year, this should not be a close race. The fact that a Democrat is challenging this heavily Republican district shows that they sense some vulnerability. Whether it is the Trump factor or something else, Democrats are putting in a greater effort this election cycle than they were 4 years ago. In the 3rd District of Northern Chilai, Democrat Marvin Stevenson challenges incumbent Republican Tracy DeFloro. Professor Stevenson has an impressive resume. Just some accomplishments include a Master of Science degree from Roberts Wesleyan College, where he's currently an adjunct professor. He also served in the Marines, the United States Coast Guard, and 25 years as a member of Rochester law enforcement. Tracy DeFloro is finishing her first term as a county legislator after defeating her challenger in 2016 by 34 percentage points. This is another district where Republicans should theoretically dominate. She is the leader of the Planning and Economic Development Committee and is currently working at Bausch & Lomb as a quality systems training specialist. I believe she has a rock-solid lock on this election, considering Professor Stevenson's Facebook presence is next to non-existent. Again, a lack of social media presence by Democrats is usually emblematic of a struggling campaign. Democrats need young, media-savvy voters in order to win. What really matters more than individual candidates in this election is what policies are enacted after the election. Will there be enough Democrat or Republican gains to significantly affect our laws in any way? The Monroe County legislature requires 15 votes in order to pass new legislation. Unless it requires bonding authority, which means financing with bonds, then it requires 20 votes. Laws and resolutions then go to the county executive for signature. If the county executive vetoes the legislation, then 18 legislators are needed to override the veto. 22 for bonding authority. So after tonight, if you want to know how this election impacts you, your family, and your county, look at some key races. The county executive position, because they can veto any legislation. Look and see if Republicans can gather a veto-proof majority of 18 legislators, which could overrule any veto by the county executive. They currently have 17, one vote shy of this veto-proof majority. If Republicans lose 3 seats, then they also lose their majority in the legislature. So look for seats that challenge party control and see how much of a net loss it is for Democrats or for Republicans. There are also races for judicial appointments. Now, I'm not the best when it comes to matters of law, which, believe it or not, are different from public policy matters. However, I know enough to understand that these judicial votes are still important to law enforcement and prosecution within the county. There are 2 spots open for county court judge. The 2 Democrats running are Karen Bailey Turner, who, like me, is a graduate of American University, and Michael Dollinger. On the Republican side are Carol Steinbach and John DeMarco. For state Supreme Court, you have Meredith Vaca, the lone Democrat, against Kevin Noska and Matthew Rosenbaum. There are 2 spots open, so a Republican is going to win one of these state Supreme Court positions, no matter how well the Democrats do. Lastly, the district attorney race is between Shanae Mitchell and Sandra Dooley. These judicial races are decided by countywide ballots. So we can expect the results of those elections to follow the top of the ticket county executive race. I expect whichever party wins county executive will also win these judicial races. Anyway, if I had more time, I could go in depth on all of the races, including every town supervisor and every single legislative district. I hope this discussion was enough to give you a general sense of the race and a better understanding of the political science behind this thrilling contest for control of Monroe County. But before I go, I'd like to thank you for listening to this discussion. If you liked anything I had to say, I also own a small business. Hey, hey, look at you guys who are listening. You already know about it. Which does political consulting for people instead of for politicians. This means that I can do political research for you, I can help you with political social media posts and comments, and I can listen to your views on political issues over the phone in a respectful manner. Visit honestpoliticsllc.com to learn more. You can also contact me by scrolling to the bottom of honestpoliticsllc.com and sending me a message. I look forward to hearing from you, so thank you for listening. And that is the script I wanted to deliver on that radio show. And that is what I did not do, because I was pressured for time, and that kind of long lecture-style essay is not exactly what the American population maybe wants, or at least the people I was with at the time. I know I'm someone who values intelligence. I value sitting in a room and listening to what an expert has to say. And that might not be the usual thing in this country, but that's how I feel. And anyone who claims to follow politics and really try to advocate for the best for the American people should be doing research. So what happened in the race was Adam Bello, the Democrat, actually won the county executive position over Cheryl Donalfo, the Republican. When I watched the two speeches, Donalfo's concession and Bello's victory speech, they were both very kind to each other in those speeches. Donalfo said she set the table and she wishes the best for Bello and for the county. Bello thanked Donalfo for her years of service. And this microcosm was fascinating to me, where Monroe County is federally a very solid Democrat county, because Rochester is a very Democrat city, a big city within the state of New York. But outside of the city of Rochester, it gets more rural. It's much more Republican. And I think because these elections for county executive happen in off years, and Republicans vote more often in off years for some of the reasons I mentioned, we've been a Republican county for a long time. Even though federally we're a Democrat county, it's interesting how it's mixed that way. And Democrats made some inroads that they haven't in a long, long time in Monroe County. Karen Bailey Turner and Michael Dollinger won the county court judge seats, and Karen Bailey Turner made history by being the first woman of color on that seat. You know, I've been involved in these elections since February, when I first moved here. And it's really helped me learn a lot about Monroe County. Just doing all this research, I've learned a lot about my local politicians, the people around here, all the different neighborhoods I've done research on. I've learned a bit about political science, but I've met some incredible people. I've made some friends from these campaigns. And I've got conversation points to talk to people about around here. It's been an invaluable experience to have gone through this election cycle. And a lot of those people, Karen LaBracca, J.W. Cook, Steverson, they all got wiped out by the Republicans in these rural Republican districts. But Democrats did gain a couple seats, and the legislature is Republican by one vote at this moment. So there's going to be checks and balances within Monroe County for the first time in over 30 years. We'll see, is everything going to grind to a halt, or are people going to cooperate? And given Donalfo and Bello's speeches, I'm optimistic that we will come together and we will get stuff done for Monroe County. It just won't be dictated 100% by Republicans anymore. But yeah, lastly, like I said, this has been an incredible election to get involved in. And I can help, I'm plugging my business, I can help you get involved in your local elections, help you, you know, try to maybe meet one of your local legislatures. It's really not that hard. The more local the politician, the easier it is to get some FaceTime and talk to them. Even if you're not trying to lobby for anything specifically, just meet them, just see how they are. These are the people representing you, passing laws that matter to you. They run your taxes. You know, they're regulating your roads. And if you don't want to do all that, you can hire me to do it for you, look into the issues and give you a quick report so that you can go about the rest of your day doing what you actually enjoy doing. And my business is catered to political junkies, and it's catered to people who don't want to deal with politics, or if you're somewhere in between. Lastly, I want to tell you how I felt that night coming home from an election watch party. Having known the results of the election, and thinking I can finally relax. No more volunteering, knocking on doors, calls, attending parades, this and that. Well, I immediately started to think that there's a much bigger mission, a much more important mission, a mission where I can go all out. And that's the race in 2020, which I'm getting tingles on my arms right now just thinking about how ready I am for this election. I'm a political junkie, and I've been following this stuff for a long time. 2020 is going to be probably the most interesting election we've ever seen. I am completely ready to start volunteering. I'm completely ready for the Twitter and Facebook posts. I'm completely ready for November in 2020 when we see what happens when this president faces a challenger and a Democratic Party that may either be united or divided, because we know it's going to be one of the two. I'm honestly leaning towards divided because the left and the center left are so at odds with each other, but the Republicans are completely united behind Trump, save for one or two whimpers from one or two senators. So are Democrats going to unite and defeat Trump? Or is Trump's politicking going to win the day? I'm ready. And if you're ready, you want to share your thoughts. You can be a guest on the podcast. You can do it from your home. You can come and visit me. Either way, you know, we do it remotely or in person. I hope you visit honestpoliticsllc.com, scroll to the bottom, and send me a message. And as always, we can finally discover more of the stories behind the statistics. Local elections. And before you shut this off, there are political, they're in. And before you shut this off, there are important political ramifications for local elections, no matter where they are.